Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hour of Grace, the Grace Hour show. My name is Jesse Fires. I have a special guest with me today, my dearest friend, Jonathan Mikonen.
Hey,
Jonathan. What's going on?
We are here in Baltimore City.
Oh.
And God is faithful, huh?
What do you think about Baltimore City, Jonathan? People are watching right now. Just to let you know.
Okay. God loves the city. I love this city. I would rather not be anywhere else than here right now.
Yeah. What is your home city? Or are you maybe in a town, but what's the closest city? Or were you born in the city?
I was born in a city of Mikkeli in Finland.
Mikkeli?
That is a little bit on a rural area of Finland, but I've lived in probably 14 cities in different cities in Finland.
Wow. All in Finland, 14 cities?
Yeah. Or moved 14 times in different cities. Maybe 8, 9, 10 cities.
Wow. And so Baltimore is your favorite city?
Because I'm living here right now. And my family is here.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome. So, congrats, Baltimore. You have a good one here. And Jonathan Mikonen, and he loves the city. So, it's true about the Baltimoreans. Is that correct, Jehu? Yeah. Baltimoreans. they do love their city. And, like, I asked many people, you know, why? Like, you haven't left. you were here the whole time, you know? And they're like, yeah, like, I love it here. There's a lot to do, a lot of things around. So today we are talking about, you know, to the ends of the world, to, what was it, Jerusalem, Samaria, and undermost parts of the world. That is our whole topic this week. And we've been going through it. And today we have reaching our city. So the first Monday was neighbors, reaching your neighbors. Then yesterday was community. And today is the day that we're expanding out and going into the city.
Zooming out.
Scary.
Yeah.
Cities are scary. Some people don't like cities. There's a lot going on in cities. So
yeah, I'm more of a countryside myself. I like the peace and quietness and you usually know the people, everybody there, and like you build a community.
Yeah.
But cities, there's lots of opportunities.
Yeah. Lots of people. And markets, things to do, busy. And so you're more of a country man.
Yeah, I would say so.
So you're sitting outside your front porch drinking your diet Cherry Coke. Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome. Cool. So today I want to get started. I was thinking, and they did such a good job the last 2 days, and this is such a fun topic for us. Our church is very active in reaching new cities, reaching new people. And so before we get started going into the city, I would say that how do we reach a city? I think there's a thing that comes before that that's been on my heart, and that is our own households. And this could really actually, because if I don't have this, like, how can I end up reaching neighbors, cities, how can I go out there when I can't even take care of my old household? And that is pulling from 1 Timothy 3:5, which is talking to the leaders specifically. How can you take care of your flock if you can't take care of your own household? But also, God uses this, talks about it, about family and household in Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6. For those watching, thank you for watching. Comment, do you guys like us reading the verses? Sometimes we, you know, spit them off and, you know, shorten them. But do you like when we read it line upon line? That's a question for you guys. We want feedback. Thank you. All right. So Deuteronomy 6, but we're going to read today. regardless. Deuteronomy 6:6. He says, "And these words which I command this day shall be in thy heart." So that's the first point. It's in your heart. We all have, you know, this inward man, this flesh versus spirit going on. So the heart has to be settled and right with God. And we do. We have a new heart. And it first starts in the inward part. And Monday, I believe they brought that up, Pastor Barron, Pastor Justin. And then verse 7. And then the second point says, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's in your household. It's in your family. You're teaching it to your kids. And then in verse 8, we see it's actually, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. This is talking about action. There's action in it too as well. It's not just said and talked about. I'm actually doing it too. And then it says it's a frontlet between thine eyes. And that is like your mind, like the mind of Christ. Like I have a word in season. I'm thinking with God continually as often, as early, as late as I can, whatever the scenario is. And maybe some of you don't even have a family, but I want to just rub it off, you know, even if I don't have a family. I could start this if I'm a single man or a single woman at my own house, or maybe have roommates, or I'm living with my grandma. I could use this scripture and I could still apply that heart in my household, in my family, in the people around me. And then this is where it progresses, Jonathan. Now we're stepping outside the door. It says in verse 9, and then thou shalt write it upon the post of thy house. So that's just outside your house. Our house, Joshua says, for me and my house, we would serve the Lord. This is all just relates to that. And then, end of verse 9, it's on your gates. Now it's going to your neighborhoods. Now it's going to your community. So I just thought that, like, that is a great way to start. Like, how do we reach a city or even go outside our doors? You really start inwardly in our own household where we are and taking care of that. So that was a good start.
It's a good start. And I mean, the verse 10, he starts to talk about, so it shall be when the Lord God brings you into the land of which he swore to your father. So he's taking them back to the promised land. But now he's prepared them in a wilderness and he's given them instructions and law, and as you said, it's like starts within inside of your heart, hearing from God. Faith comes by hearing from the word of God, and then you apply it in your life.
Yes,
you're not just hearer but the doer of the word. You obey, you're in obedience with it, then you teach it, and then you have a practical way of conducting yourself according to it, the rules, or like it says in, I believe in Romans, like I delight in the law of God in my inner man. So like it's outer man perishes, inner man is renewed day by day. So now you're living in that new creation, new experience of the new nature, and now you actually are the salt and light. Because it's God. It's the presence of God in your heart, in your life, in your family. As a man, head of the family, and then to teach family, okay, this is how we're living. Me and my house will serve the Lord. And then your family is in a community. And maybe part of certain ethnicity or a certain part of bigger picture of the city, like a certain area, a certain, well, it's the fact that you have a walk with God, the fact that you have a family that walks with God brings a presence of God in that area. And that might be a one area, or like, let's say in a city. Like you are in a block, and but like you have God in your family, and once you go out of the door, it starts to influence, affect, and the way conducting yourself, where you speak, where you treat people, and how your family also like starts to rub on people. I think that's the. That's what I got out of that, and it's it's like that's where it starts.
Behind closed doors, you know, in a way,
like behind the closet.
Yes,
and it's like between you and God first.
Yeah, And he has so, like, God loves, like, family, and, like, he talks about it so many times, just like the, yeah, just like the one unit of family, the togetherness, the children, the mother, the honoring, all those things. Like, God has such a purpose and a love for family, and obviously creating us to multiply in the beginning and to be fruitful. And then also just, yeah, and just going out and teach them the way you should go. And then you do your best, and then, you know, you let them decide for themselves one day, kind of like, you know, yeah, you and I, we're starting to grow up. We're both married now. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Give me a high five here, baby. Come on. So, like, yeah, but, like, oh my gosh, how much are you learning right now?
Oh, yeah. So much.
That's another topic. But what do we think about a lot, like, how I was raised? Mm. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, thankfully, and, like, they gave me the word, and I went away from it, but I never departed from it, you know? So that's the beauty of it, you know, in this verse, teaching it to your children, and just leading your household under God. Mm. And you were going on into those verses, and it was so good. In verse 10, he says, the land that I'm giving unto you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee a great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Mm. I love that. You didn't build these cities. And we could think about many different cities that, like, yeah, maybe we had no part of it, but God's like, I'm going to give it to you, you know, or you're going to have a purpose in there. Like you were saying, you're going to have an effect just because of how your household is run, how your heart is, and you have this new heart, and now you're reaching the lost, and I'm going to give you, different cities. And so, that's an encouraging verse.
And then in the Bible, there's also the cities that were built by men.
Mm, yeah.
Cain went after murdering Abel. He went from the presence of God, and then built a city.
Yeah.
A dwelling place for him and his family and his lineage. And I'm just thinking about it, like, he used, almost like he used to have this kind of security when he was with his family, when he was able, and he was taught about God, about the fall, about the garden, most likely, like, they just teaching about it, and then, but it never really kind of struck to him, so he goes and builds a place of security for himself, and community security that is for his own protection, because now he's also marked by God, and that should tell him that nobody should harm you, but then he also builds a city for himself, and then it evolves all the way to the Genesis 11, where there's a multiple of men and they want to build city for their own. Like, let's build a city for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like there's a lots of self-exaltation and pride there.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Let me, so you referenced, those are beautiful, because I just want to reference it. Genesis 4, 16 and 17. This is Cain, and it's interesting. He says, after he's marked in verse 15 and verse 16, says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Mm. And in verse 17, then he knew his wife, they conceived, he had a family, and he built a city. Mm. And so there's your first city right off the bat. And it comes after, like, he leaves the presence of God. Mm. And then you reference, Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, right? They wanted to build a city, and that's in verse 4 of Genesis 11. Let us build a city and let us make a name for ourselves. And so, you have two cities on kind of different foundations, more of for self, self-preservation, pride, you said. You could say it's arrogant. It's on their own. They're away from God, and they want to make a name for themselves. Mm. And that kind of speaks and kind of hits. And I could see that in our cities today. In America here, we have many different cities, all different kinds of cultures. They look different, smell different, feel different. There's some unique smells in your city. So name your city and say, what does it smell like? Sweat, blood, salt, vinegar.
Smell something driving up north, went through the New Jersey.
yeah I mean
an industrial area. It's own distinct.
There's a city called Hopewell. I think I mentioned this before, but it's Hopewell, so it's near Richmond. So it's called Hopewell, and we pulled up to it, and I think it's like I don't know if it's a paper mill joint or something like that, but there's a lot of industrial stuff going on, and it just reeks. Like, I took my wife there to check it out because it looked cool. It was by the water, and we got out of there because it smelled so bad. But I asked my buddy Gavin. He said they have actually a saying for that. There's a kid saying about that city. It says, "You smell, I smell, we all smell like Hopewell." So that's a good city, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good ring to it. So interesting. So we have cities. Maybe you want to continue on it. Cities, a man city, a man built city, a city that's focused on self and pride. Like, very interesting.
And later on, that's from Genesis 11. It's just grows and grows until it's a city of Babel, becomes city of Babylon. Like, that is the picture of the world system.
Yes.
And it's like, but it's also like the heart of it comes from the famous five I wills from Satan. Like, I will be like the most, I will build a city that is that reaches God or even goes further than God. It's like he's trying to be his own God, and like that's the spirit of the world, spirit of the age. It's like I'm building my own city, I'm building my own life, my own future, and it's kind of manifest itself in these like biblical cities, but also nowadays.
Yeah. And then what other cities? We have like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
You know, and just like very wicked city. You have Nineveh. And then later on, we have like Jerusalem and just different, many cities just throughout the scripture too as well. But there is a lot of corruption and wickedness and influence in these cities. And maybe if you want to talk about... your question was, why cities, you know? Why can't we just stay in my neighborhood? Why can't I just stay, in my backyard with people I know? Like, what is the purpose, and why would we be so, drawn or motivated to reach our city, you know? Because maybe I'm like Jonathan Mikkonen, and I like to sit by on my porch in the land, and I like to look at the city and watch to keep the smell there. And
That's the old man. And then I was reading this, I think it's Luke 19. Luke 19, 41. So after Luke 19, after he enters the city and it's the start of the Passover. It's the he's riding on a donkey. He enters the city. And it's the fulfillment of the part of the Daniel 70 week. He's coming to the city there, and then he gets rejected. And verse 41 is, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." So but part that I want to latch is like he's looking at the city. He sees the people, multitudes, and he's weeping over. He has a compassion, And he addresses the whole city of Jerusalem. There is like, if you had known, like if you had known who I am, like if you had known, like when I was here, like that I am here, who I am, if you know what I've done for you, I'm gonna do for you. And it's, he had a compassion. And I think that's, like cities, they are places where people, especially nowadays, from different countries, different cultures, come for building their lives. They come to study. They come to build a career. They come for better relationships. Better, whatever you're seeking in the security and significance, they are drawn to a city, and that they are seeking, they are looking for Jesus, but they don't know it. They are looking for satisfaction for their soul, the meaning that I am accepted, like I am secure in who I am, and I have a significance. But they're building it in these different things, like your job, your education, culture. You're trying to identify with these things. So people going to New York City because it's the Big Apple. It's everything is accessible there, and like you just have to walk one block, and you have everything you need.
Yeah,
and it's convenient. There's a different diversity of cultures and melting pot, and you're identifying to the city. Like that's what I think, like what some people they are seeking. But then also, like some people are staying in the city. People are not necessarily, they have made their home in the city. And they are not coming. They are staying there. And where I was going with this is, they are influenced greatly by the city.
Yeah,
like I would say, Lot and his family was influenced with Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. His wife was influenced. But the God didn't also destroy the city because he was there. So in order to destroy it, they had to pull him out, his family. But his daughters were already influenced by the immorality that was in the city and the wickedness. But it has cities have a great influence.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Which is one of the great reasons why cities are great targets.
Yeah. So there's influence. There's majority, you could say, of your population too as well in cities. More opportunity, like you said, a lot more foot traffic and just people in general. And what is God here for? For big cities? For skyscrapers? For land? No, like he died for people. Mm-hmm. And where are the most people, you know? And God, Christ, when he was on this earth, often would go into towns, cities, preaching, teaching, serving, whatever. And then he would go away into the quietness in the wilderness, in the mountain to pray. He wasn't preaching on the mountain. Well, maybe he had the Sermon on the Mount, but he used it for preaching. But people would follow him. You know, he brought them out, and that's so interesting. And I feel even in my life sometimes when I go out into the wilderness away from, or, you know, the ocean or wherever a quieter place is, away from a city, away from a lot of technology and a lot of activity, you're able to think better. You're able to sleep maybe better, all these different things.
Yeah.
And because there's a unique thing in these cities, as we read these man-made cities before, there's huge influence, but there's a lot of also paganism. there's a lot of spiritual just attacks in cities. And there's this one very interesting verse, and it's Jeremiah 29:7. And I love it. He says, seek the peace. So Israel is in captivity right now. They're not in their city. And in captivity, God says to them, seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. Yeah. I like that. You're a little fish in a big pond. Yeah. You're an outcast. Yeah. You're a believer, you know, in a wicked city. In a city that, and you know, and God says, Jeremiah, I have you there for a purpose and a reason. Mm. And this is why God wants to reach cities, is because we can have an influence and an impact in people, and God could reach people in cities. And in the book of Acts, I see you just turned to it. Mm-hmm. Are you turning to it? What's in a city? Jonathan.
In the city, there are people.
People. What kind of people?
All kinds of people, let's say. There's in the major cities, okay, in Acts, like there's the governors, there's the wealthy. Then cities, there are also poor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beggars, thieves. All kinds of people from all walks of life, because there's opportunities.
Yeah.
And lots of, like, even in Jesus' time, like, in the city gates, there was, like, lame men, beggars, blind. They were waiting in the gates of the city and the roads that leads to a city, because there's lots of foot traffic. And then the cities... I think it was Tim Keller who said, like, cities have the most of the image of God per square foot.
Mm.
Like, the people are made in the image of God, and cities tend to have a density of people. So I wouldn't be surprised if Paul would have that kind of thought also. It's like... he's going to a city, and it's like, these are all people made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And there's opportunities.
Mm, yeah.
Not everybody is going to receive, but I'm going to find them who are drawn by God.
Yeah. And that wasn't his, a lot of his missionary journey and church planning was in cities.
Yeah.
Just major travel, foot traffic areas. Like, that's where he worked, you know, that's where he planted.
Yeah.
You know, that's beautiful. And then in Acts, is it 18:2 as well, where God says, it's unique, you know, like we could think about it, like, you know, different cities that, you know, we have a heart for and we're like, okay, like I want to go, I feel led. And I love that verse. Is it Acts 18 where God says, I have people in this city for you? Does anybody know that, Jehu?
Yes, it's Acts 18,
is it?
9 and 10. It says, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city.
Wow. Who is he? What city is that?
He's in Corinth.
Corinth, and that's to Paul? Paul, are you speaking to Paul?
Yep.
Beautiful. Oh, man. Yeah. I have many people in it, not just one. It might come one at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's what sometimes we, you know, we do a lot of mission trips to cities. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it's just like one disciple or one person on fire for God at a time. Mm-hmm. And it starts slowly, relationally. And it's so beautiful. God has specific people in the city for you. Mm-hmm. And, I felt like that in Richmond, Virginia, just going by there and being with an amazing team. But we met so many people that just like God had us, like had these people in the city waiting for us. You know, Gavin, you have Jonathan, you have my boy Irvin, another brother Charles. Like he has specific people in each city. Mm-hmm. And he will bring them, you know, and they'll be a part of the team or whatever it is. Like you build a relationship with these people and then it just keeps on spreading.
Yeah.
You know,
and I like because a chapter before he's in Athens and he's talking to these, different people, like in Athens, and he's on a Mars Hill. He's debating with them. He's not mentioning Jesus or anything. Like, it's a brilliant. But here he's mentioned, and he in verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. So he has pre-appointed time and boundaries of their dwellings. So what he's saying, it's not an accident that you are in this city, in this area, this very specific time.
Yeah.
And then he says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. And I mean, that's the... I love that he's not far from us, and he determines. It's not an accident that we are this church is in Baltimore.
Yeah,
like it's God. God knows and directs. I mean, individuals, but also churches in the specific locations.
Yeah,
because he has a plan and a purpose. In the body of Christ.
Yeah. I got hear many stories about the area that this church is in right now. And they're not always good stories about this specific area.
Right.
And it's so unique because now it's just like people come by and they don't recognize it, you know. And, you know, I think and picture in my mind, like if the church didn't move here and didn't have, you know, didn't position itself here, like what would this place look like still? And, you know, I just think almost the worst, like, but, you know, I think that because of the church is here, because specific people have come here, because there's a lot of, you know, love and people going out and spreading the love of God and, and having like a peace, because it, like, we could all agree it's all spiritual. Like there is a spiritual presence. We feel it when we go into certain cities, a spiritual presence or a heaviness here rather than out in the countryside. Why? Because there's a spiritual attack on each one of these cities. Yes, yes. And then we're reading Revelation about different churches in different cities. Like it's very unique. They have
different issues. And,
yes.
And Jesus addresses them differently, personally.
Yes.
There's a specific warfare. And temptation and a specific sin.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have an answer for it, but like you have, I mean, it's a, maybe it's not talk too much, but like the spiritual realm of the warfare is real. Demons, there's a specific demons that are in a specific areas.
Yeah.
And they put the strongholds spiritually, and only way to have that is to have the presence. Like against that is the presence of God.
Yeah,
like that's the only weapon. It's the word of God. It's the prayer. It's the people of God ministering Christ to the atmosphere.
Yeah, like we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Like we could, you know. That'll be, I'm sure we've talked about that already, and or we can in the future, but just like it's a hierarchy, really, of different demonic rankings, you would say, principalities, powers, and wickedness in dark places, something like that. But there's a hierarchy, you could read that chapter, and it lists it off, and it's true. And so just as much as God is after cities, like there's an enemy also influencing cities and trying to have people create their own cities for themselves and to go against God's truth. And to
both kingdoms are after the souls.
Yeah. And what do kingdoms battle over?
Well, over souls.
Yeah. Over souls. But I mean, in general and physically, what do they battle over? It's usually major cities and territories, right? Yeah, I get the farmland. That's great, but there's nothing really much here. I want this city right here. Like, there's big. There's it's got walls and power and rivers, you know, so that, and that's, and that applies spiritually too as well. But in Luke 10, and we could continue on this like topic for a little bit, as Jesus sends them out into towns, right? In Luke 10, he sends the 70 disciples out. And it's very interesting. And I just want to hit on this point, but I'll read it. Verse 5, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if it not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such as they give. Let's go to verse 8. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. Verse 10, but into whatever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves unto us, we do wipe off against you. Now withstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Very loaded scripture there. And then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. But what's very interesting, like we go into the cities, and I think there's an importance, like what are we doing? We're preaching what? Peace unto the house first. And if we say peace and it, they receive it, meaning they're open. Yeah, maybe they're not believers, but they're open. And I love that. And I see that in some cities that people are open in this city. Wow. And I'm able to share the gospel or whatever it leads me to, or build a relationship. But sometimes it gets rejected and it gets back to me. And then that's what he says about the kingdom of God, and that it has come nigh unto you, like the presence of God has come near to you. Like Jesus is coming as king soon. Like you have kind of been forewarned in a way, like the gospel has been presented to you. But sometimes the dust comes up, he says, unto us. But to shake it off. I love that feeling, because so maybe sometimes we go into cities and we get discouraged because of no reception, didn't have good conversations, whatever it is. But here is saying we have to be very kind of loose with it, as in dust on myself, shake it off in a way and go into the next house. Like there will be, as we read before, people in the city for you. Like keep knocking on the doors, keep building relationships, and don't quit, because they're not rejecting us, as we're it was said in the earlier episodes. They are rejecting the kingdom of God, the peace of God, the good news, as Jesus as king, not us. And so it should motivate us to go out, and there should be so much liberty and just like freedom in doing it. Like how fun in a way is it to go into a city and preach the good news?
Yeah. I mean, you're going there as an ambassador for the kingdom of God, and you're the citizen. We are the citizens of heaven. So like we are going to another city that is an earthly city, and we are proclaiming like, hey, this is a reality. Like here's the, like you bring the presence of God there, and people are like looking at you funnily, and like, you know, like what you're up to, like why are you saying these things, like, and but it's again like in John 4, like Jesus talks about reaping and sowing and reaping and like watering. And they all rejoice together. But I like, because it's right after Jesus goes to Samaria and goes to the well and meets with a woman that gets an encounter with Christ. He sees that he is the Messiah. And what does she do? She goes and tells everybody.
Yes.
Like she becomes the salt and the light and the most amazing soul winner, because like now she's being set free, and whether she realizes it or not, like everybody has to experience this. Everybody has, like, I'm going to tell everybody, and she's very known in the town or in the city. People know her.
Yeah.
And then, but now she has a changed life. And now she has a testimony. She has a witness.
Yeah.
She's been touched by Jesus. And that's like, I was thinking, it's like, how can we reach a city? Like, it starts with one soul.
Yeah.
That tells to another soul, that tells to another soul. It starts with, in the city, there is this little church, that family, like we started, family that gathers together, and they have a conviction that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's kind of like in the church, like, we are determined that this is, we are not identifying what's going on in the city, like how the world is going. We are, this is the truth. This is our, we are identifying with Christ. And now the life that the whole church body lives is experienced in the secular world. And it little by little here, little seed there, little question that somebody has, is like, why are they so happy all the time?
Yeah.
Like, why did you should have given back to me what I gave you, but you gave me grace. Like, maybe that somebody's never got that before. And then they're like, why do you do this? And then it's another seed, another watering, and like little by little, there starts to be an influence in the city.
Yes.
Because there's the presence of God, and the grace is, we are being stewards of grace, and in the character and nature of Jesus that goes around the city.
Yeah.
In the workplaces, in the schools, in the daycares, in a football field, in a grocery store. There's a part of the body of Christ operating in a city
and
showing who Christ is.
That's awesome. I love that. Like, start little, you know. And even one person, like the woman at the well, you know, the whole, she told everybody. She didn't hold back at all. And that's so beautiful. And, you know, I think practically, like, how can we reach cities? And you mentioned many great things. And you said work too as well, like in grocery stores or, maybe you're just shopping, but maybe you work somewhere, you know, in a city and you could be a light there. I think of getting involved in community. Cities are very communal. In Richmond, they have their own community gardens, different things that you can get involved in to be a part of the community, but you're using it to share the gospel, you know. And these are different ways you could reach out. They have so many things. They have races, you know. They got eating competitions, you know. Who can grow the biggest pumpkin? Jonathan, you want to do that with me?
Oh, that sounds fun.
All right. So there's different ways, like, be creative when you're like evangelizing or reaching. Like, we could look at a city and be like, oh, how can we can't make any impact on that. But you start small, like you said, you get involved. It starts in the house and then you get involved in your community and then you'll see God actually bringing people because he has people in this city for you. And then you're just, and God's just working, and he's, some are sowing, some are watering, and somehow God's bringing an increase to a wicked city that is full of smelling of industrial and et cetera. So, Jonathan, last thoughts that you would have or things we want to take away from our city conversation?
I would say it starts with a prayer and having a vision, having a heart for this, for your city, for your place, where God has placed you, is to have an open communication with God about it, praying for the city, praying for the people, communities, leaders, and like you just have them in front of you, like you're praying about them, you're thinking about it, and being broken, like you're weeping for the city. It's like Jesus is looking at Jerusalem and weeping, like only if you knew. Only like sometimes I do a ministry with my wife to inner city kids in a rough area, and like you see the different households, we go pick up kids, and sometimes it just breaks the heart, and like only if you knew. But then they are so happy to see us, and like us spending time with the kids, because maybe they don't have the capacity, but then we get to impart grace, impart Bible, the Word of God, and love of God to the kids, and then they bring it home. And many people from the community, like they know me and my wife, and they know Pastor Gary there and others, and they're like, "Yeah, you guys are part of the family here." Wow. It's like, and they like you start to see that, like the grace of God, and the Word of God, and the love of God starts to affect little by little, and it's amazing. It's not the whole city, but it's the certain area code or something that is like you are able, because of your walk with God, like you pray for it, and then you go and meet people and talk to them, and you give them the word.
Yeah.
And you see how God gives the increase, and it's amazing. It's amazing.
That's precious. I love that. The kids are bringing it home. That's so cool. That's so precious. And my prayer has been of recent, like one of the most incredible, I believe, miracles in the Bible is how a whole city got saved. Right? Nineveh.
Yeah.
How does a whole city get converted and saved? And especially a city like Nineveh too, as well, at the time, you know, it was like an enemy against, you could say, Jonah and his people. But God loved it. God is like, I want to spare that city. Mm-hmm. And Jonah is like, no, I don't want to go. And then he finally, okay, says, I'm going to go. And God tells him what to preach. And what he preached was such a simple message. What was it, like, repent for the day of judgment?
Least amount of words that kind of message could have.
Yeah, yeah. And Jonah, when he heard what he was going to preach, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to preach. Because he was probably fired up, because it said, like, repent, you know, for the, you know, 40 days, judgment will come. Yeah. And that was the message. And he was probably fired up, because God was like, oh, yeah, he's going to bring the wrath and judgment. Right. He got a wicked city. Mm-hmm. And he preaches. And a whole city, you know, comes from the top, goes to the king, and the king, sackcloth and ashes, goes to the families, goes to the people in the city, and it goes all the way to the animals, Jonathan. The animals were fasting. And you know what? That is a huge miracle. Have you ever tried not to feed your animal at home? I peanut my cat. If I don't feed it every 4 hours, I'm dead. I am dead. The animals fasted. Oh, the whole city got saved, though. But like, that's been a prayer of mine. Like, can this happen today? Can this happen in one of our cities today, around the world, wherever it is? Can a whole city be converted? Like, that is a prayer of mine. It only happened for another 120 years, 150 years. They ended up being destroyed, but still, you impacted a generation, generation and generation. Let God bring the increase. And so I hope you enjoyed that topic today of reaching cities. He's the God of the cities. He's the King of the people. He's the Lord of the nations. That's a song. And so,
and he has prepared a city for us.
And that was a final topic, but we don't have time for that. But we have a future city. It was once a garden, Eden, and then it comes into a new city, a new Jerusalem that'll be on this earth. So,
and where God dwells in the midst of us.
And we have everything there.
everything.
And there's a river in this city.
Praise to God.
Yes, praise the Lord. That is a new Jerusalem. A new city is coming one day. So if you don't like your city where you're at, hope, just pray there's a future one
find
coming.
Find a church that has a vision for the city.
Yes, and hopes then, teaches about the city.
And teaches about it. Goes into the streets of the city.
Mm.
And you'll find loving the city, not because of the city, but because of the people.
Yes. Amen. So thank you guys for joining us. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today. Jonathan Mikkonen, the guest host. He's going to go to his home in the country now, and he's going to relax away from the city. But he does love Baltimore City. So thank you guys for joining us. And Jonathan, please subscribe and like, and we'll see you next time here on the Grace Hour Show. God bless.